Wonderful. It's so good to be here. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for putting me on last in the day so I can be nice and nervous all day long. But I just want to say thank you to the two ladies who've spoken before me, because I just love the different ways they came across, but I also love the way that they both put such a high priority on the Word of God. And that's our treasure, isn't it, that we can read the Bible, that we have access to the Bible, and we can build our lives on the Bible. And I think both of them lived that out in the way that they spoke to us this afternoon. So my bit of the talk is the end part of these verses, which are so well known, aren't they? But it was my thinking as I came today, and even as I prepared today, I really want this to be worth your while, because you lovely ladies have all given up a whole Saturday. I suspect there's a lot of men that have been at home who've missed you being there and are looking after children because you're here. So it needs to be worthwhile, doesn't it? We want you to go home feeling, I'm so glad I gave up a day to come and join with other ladies in this room today. Most of you, or some of you, know who I am. I'm married to a man called Guy, and we lead with a team, the Commission Family of Churches, which is part of New Frontiers, of which Shepparton is one of our churches. And so some of you know Guy, and you know that both Guy and myself love to go for walks. I don't know whether we have any fellow walkers in the room. Do we have any fellow walkers? Yes. Yes. I think it started as a child. It certainly did with my four children, that you took them for a walk because it was free. It got them out the house, there was no mess, and it hopefully ran off some steam. So my bit of the talk is, what is my bit of the talk? There we go. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And it got me thinking about paths, because when you go for a walk, often you follow a path. And Guy and I have actually done, I hope you're impressed, the Southwest Coast Path, which is 600 plus miles. Over 10 years we walked that walk. We've done walks in Yorkshire and Dorset and all sorts, because we love to get outside. One of the walks that was much more difficult was when we decided one year to go to the Isle of Skye and do some walking there. And the reason it was difficult was because there were no paths. There were hardly any maps. There were no signposts. And a lot of it was incredibly boggy. So you started your walk and then had to retrace your steps because you just got completely stuck. And it got me thinking about this little word, paths. And I'm going to make some points, obviously, about this verse, but it's not going to be necessarily chronological. So you're going to have to follow my way of thinking. I hope you will. So I'm going to start with a walk that Guy and I did recently. So in May, we had a sabbatical, and we went, as part of our sabbatical, to the south part of Spain and walked near the Sierra Nevada, near the desert there. It was the springtime and we were up in the mountains and it was absolutely gorgeous. And we had read in our guidebooks before we went that if we went to this little place called Monachil up in the mountains, you could go for a walk which ended in an incredible rope bridge that would be, you'd have mountains all around you and this rope bridge, there's going to be a picture coming up in a minute, I think. And cascading torrents of water under you. It sounded absolutely beautiful. And we thought, we want to go there because we want to do this fantastic walk. Actually, that's a terrible photo, isn't it? Because it's too light in here. That's my husband walking across what was the destination of our walk. But we couldn't actually find it. So the first time we went for the walk, we went all around the mountains, got incredibly hot and tired, and didn't actually find that walk. So that's the destination. And when you think about the destination of this verse, that he will direct our paths, I think there's a thinking in my head that God has kind of got the whole of our life mapped out. There is a kind of path that we're following that he wants us to follow. But sometimes it seems very hard to find exactly what it is. Am I the only one that feels like that sometimes? Which is why these two thoughts, the Lord will direct our paths, and if we acknowledge him, he will direct our paths. It's very important that the two go together, which I think Yasmin beautifully spoke to us about this afternoon, the importance of the word of God and how much that means in finding God's path to us. She also has eliminated another part of my talk, which is really good, because then I've got other times to talk about other things, which was about the whole background of Proverbs. If you know much about the Bible, there's apparently 900 Proverbs in the book of Proverbs, approximately. There are 31 chapters, so if you're that way inclined, you can read one chapter a day, and you'll have something to read every day of the month. So, and they're packed with good things, aren't they? They're packed with some things that you read and think, I'm not sure I really understand what they're going on about. They're also packed full of things like the verse, train a child in the way he should go, and when they're older, they will not depart from it. And you think, ah, right, okay. So that means if I train my child when he's older, if I train him, say, to go to church, that when he's older, he'll definitely be a Christian and he'll go to church. And then when it doesn't happen, you think, maybe I didn't train him in the way that he should go. And you can get yourself tied up in knots if you're not very careful when you look at some of the Proverbs, because they are principles. You can't just apply them exactly and say, because of that, this will happen. So it's important when you read them that they're principles, not definite, this will absolutely happen. And also, I think sometimes they take time to happen. So I know very many godly mums and dads who have children that are walking far away from God at the moment in time. That doesn't necessarily mean you've done something wrong as a parent, okay? It means that God is in control of that child's life and is all the way through. He's more interested in their future than you are. He loves them more than you do, and he has a purpose and a plan for their lives, just like he does for yours. And that gives me huge reassurance. And I hope it does you too. So they're principles, okay? So it says in Proverbs 1, why should we read the Proverbs? Again, because you can wade your way through. If you do read a whole chapter in a day, I personally get spiritual indigestion from doing that. I just find that too much. So I liked what you, Kim, said about just stopping and savoring one and mulling it through the day and thinking, what does that actually mean? But it says in Proverbs 1, why should we read the Proverbs? For gaining wisdom and instruction, for understanding words of insight, for receiving instruction in prudent behavior, doing what is right and just and fair, for giving prudence to those who are simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and riddles of the wise. That's a good reason, isn't it, to read the Proverbs. And I would argue that the stage of life that we are in, there is such an excess of good advice, of moderate advice and probably very poor advice. You've got your phones, you've got your laptops, you've got the TV, you've got more books than you can shake a stick at. There are hundreds of different bits of advice and wisdom you can get. Sometimes it's good, sometimes they conflict completely. I mean, just take child rearing, for example. If you, any of you got babies, take a look at all the different advice there is about baby. You would not do anything to your baby because you'd be so frightened you'd get it wrong, because there's so many ways of doing it. And I think it got me thinking about the Queen. Because one of the things since the Queen has died that we've all said about the Queen is right at the beginning of her reign, she made a promise to serve God and to serve her people. I don't suppose the Queen woke up one morning and thought, I wonder how I'm going to spend my life. I wonder which direction I'm going to take. Which career shall I do? Who shall I marry? How many children shall I have? She might have thought some of those things, but her life had that overall principle that she was going to serve God and serve her people. And she's done it for 70 plus years. And it got me thinking, do you know, as a Christian, when we become a Christian, in some ways, we do the same thing that the Queen did. We say to God, I want to serve you, Lord, for the rest of my life, and I want to serve other people. And that is a kind of overriding principle that guides us through our lives. That is a kind of pathway that we take. I'm meandering. I was talking to Kim earlier and I was saying, I kind of know what I'm saying, but sometimes God sends me off on little meanders, little paths. Maybe that's what they are. So let's look at some observations from these verses. And the first observation I wanted to make, which might again be a terrible picture, I hope it isn't too bad, is the difference between pavements and paths. Now, pavements, as you all know, are generally fairly flat, and they are generally fairly straight, and they are generally fairly clear where you're supposed to be going. Just an aside, they're not always in India. Just point that out. They're not. Often they're great big holes in that you might fall in, but that's another story. So the difference between paths is they meander around, and they can go off at tangents, they can crisscross, they can go all over the place. And this was the problem that we found when we were in Monachil trying to take this mountain walk. That although they had wonderful coloured posts and they had signposts in Spanish, which we could more or less work out what they meant, there were so many paths that sometimes we weren't sure where we were supposed to be going and we got lost. And I think sometimes guidance, it's one of the biggest questions that pastors and probably prayer ministry people get asked, is about guidance. How do I know what God wants me to do with my life? How do I know where he wants me to go? What job to take? Which person to marry? All of those sort of things. What role should I take in church? And guidance is very difficult for us. And I just wanted to point out with this paths and pavements that there are some principles when we need guidance. The first principle is that we get guidance through the Holy Spirit as we pray, as we read the Bible, or as we hear a sermon. And I just thought it was so brilliant, both the talks about the more you steep yourself in the Word of God, the more clearly the path becomes. It becomes obvious where you're definitely going off the path, I would say, if you have a lifestyle of being soaked in the Word of God. But sometimes God speaks prophetically to us and directs us off in a different way. So this is just one of the ways we hear from God about guidance. The second way is through the wisdom of others. And I think, again, when you're making decisions, whether they're great big decisions or small decisions, to have a trusted friend or church leader or somebody who can, you can just say, look, I'd really value some advice on this. Can you pray with me? Asking for wisdom, as Yasmin said. So with others, these are people who know you, people who help you make your decisions. And then I think thirdly, and I think sometimes we overlook this one, is the value of good old common sense. And the fact that if we believe God directs our paths, sometimes you do have to take a step and trust that if God doesn't want you to do that particular thing, he'll make it very clear to you that you're going off piste and not quite where he wants you to go. So don't ever overlook good old common sense as well when you're trying to ask for guidance. Finally, there might be more than one way to get to a particular place. There was in Monachil where we were walking. There were several paths that all ended up in the same place. Sometimes I think we get ourselves so tied up in knots because we think there just must be one will for my life and one particular path. And maybe I've missed it. You have missed it, God is more than able to put you back on that path and get you walking along the right track. It's definitely true. Second observation, I would say, is this business about submitting and acknowledging him. I'll turn my page over. Now, I've got another picture, which I hope you can see clearly this one, because it's my husband looking extremely silly. Oh, no, you can't see his face. That's good. This walk that we went on was advertised and billed as a family-friendly walk. But actually, it was really... Have any of you been there? No. It was a really tough walk because we had to, at points, and Guy is doing this here, lean right out because there were huge overhanging rocks. There were other bits where I had to crawl on my hands and knees. And all of the time, there was this precipice at the side that you thought, it's not a huge drop, but if I did drop, I would hurt myself because it's a long way down to the water. And my point is this, sometimes it's not as easy as it looks. And trust is all about trusting God when it's not as easy as it looks. At a few points, I was thinking, I don't want to do this walk anymore. I just want to go back. It's ridiculous. And how can people possibly do it with children? But we did do it because we trusted the fact that the guidebook said, it's okay, you will get there in the end. And I just feel at this point it's ever so important to remember the character of God. And even in the bits where it's really, really hard and you think, do you know what, I just feel like giving up. that God is our good shepherd, that we have his rod and his staff that leads and guides us, that lovely little crook that you see in all the nativity plays, he can put that round our necks and gently pull us back into the right way. And he is somebody that we can trust. Again, when you know God over a period of time, it's so tempting to think, maybe he's not in control, but he is in control. And he is worth trusting because he knows where he's going and where he wants you to go. And sometimes it's just good to remind yourself of that when you're on these difficult pathways, to just stop and say, Lord, I trust you. I know I can trust you. I've trusted you in the past, and I can look back on the goodness of God. And that gives me assurance that in the future, I can still trust you because you're still good. You're still God. You're still in control. You're not going to let me down. Thirdly, difficulty. This is another picture of Guy going up a mountain. And it looks as if actually he's going just to walk into a rock face. There was actually a path there, but it looked really, really tough. It was extremely hot. But difficulty doesn't mean you're on the wrong path. It'd be lovely to say that all the right paths are easy ones, but they're not always. But it's by walking on those difficult paths that you learn to trust God more closely and know him more intimately. And I think, again, with Kim speaking this morning, she found God at that time of desperate need. She spent time with God at that. It wasn't easy. It clearly wasn't easy. But she found him in the difficult places. And Tim Keller, that famous American preacher, says, the big question to ask yourself is not how God will guide, but who God will guide. What kind of people is God promising he will guide? God will instruct you in the way that you should go. So firstly, he's looking for those who are trained in his ways. And that again goes back to this reading, praying, knowing God over time, an instinctive knowing what God wants and doesn't want by a lifestyle of reading, praying, and reading his word and praying. There's no shortcuts to this, I'm afraid. It's a lifestyle. It's like a lifestyle of good eating. They say diets are not a good idea. It's a lifestyle of good eating you want. And it's a lifestyle of walking with God. It doesn't mean that every day you get it 100% right. You'll have days when you forget or you didn't have time or whatever. But it's a lifestyle of living and loving and walking with God. He's looking for those who are trained in his ways. Secondly, he's looking for those who are obedient to him. Knowing that God's way is best, even if it's not what we want. It's humbly following him. It's an experience built on knowing he has our best at heart, even in the challenges. Being obedient. We used to say, when I became a Christian, I was very young when I became a Christian, a little girl, we used to talk about God being our saviour or God being our Lord. And I think I took Jesus as my saviour when I was about 5. But I think through my teenage years, I had to learn to think, I want to follow Jesus as my Lord. I want to believe that he has my best at heart, and I'm going to submit and obey his ways, which wasn't always easy, as you know. But obedience is so key. Thirdly, it's in people who are trusting in his promises. Again, these talks, they all meander around together. When you know the word of God, you know the promises that are contained in them, and you can pray them with certainty. And again, God speaks to us through different ways, doesn't he? There's that inner prompting. There's supernatural promptings. There's the common sense, as we've talked about. Sometimes it's writing down a list of the pros and cons and not just looking at them and thinking, let's just do all the pros because they're the easiest bits, but it's praying them through and trusting God that you'll make the right step and trusting that God will confirm or prevent. And it's finally those people who depend on God's grace. And I think by that, I mean, how do you see your Heavenly Father? When you're praying for guidance about a particular thing, do you see God as like a wily poker player who's got his cards close to his chest and he's just peering over the top at you? Or do you think, no, this is my loving Heavenly Father. I can trust him. He's worthy of my trust. I know he wants to share good things with me. And as we do that more and trust in God's character as we know it, we're able to make decisions built on trust and faith and taking a step. The last little picture I wanted to show you is, it comes under the point, there's a joy in the journey. There used to be a Christian singer who wrote a song called There Is a Joy in the Journey. And even though some journeys can be difficult, this was at the end of our walk, and I don't know whether you can see, there was a little dove way up high in a little cleft of a rock. And it instantly spoke to me, instantly. And the thing about walking and stepping and paths is that you slow down. You're not in a car whizzing past at top speed. You're slowing down, you're taking step by step, and then you see sometimes these little things and God just speaks to you through them. So we'd gone through this long, meandery, difficult, slightly dangerous walk through the rocks, and there was that little dove sat up on the rock. He let us walk past him. He wasn't the slightest bit interested in flying away, just sat there looking at us with his little beady eyes. And God spoke to me straight away and said, that's how you are with me. You're safe in me. You're in that cleft of the rock. Don't need to be frightened. That hymn that we used to sing years ago, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. And that little verse too in Song of Solomon, my dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding place on the mountainside, show me your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. And again, I just wanted you to think in your own situation of difficult walks that you might be on, difficult decisions you might have to make, places where you're not sure what God's guidance is, and yet waiting for God to just give you a moment of, don't panic, I'm with you. I've got it sorted. Trust me. And that little bird reminded me of that, and I wanted to remind you of that today. And now, I might have missed out bits in my notes, which is quite possible because I tend to do that sort of thing. But I would just like to spend some time praying and asking God to make himself real to you where you are and the decisions that you're making. One can never assume, you look out in a room like this and think, I bet some people are going through some really tough things at the moment. I bet some people are going through some things where they've got great big questions. Does God really care about where I am at the moment? So I wonder, would you mind standing and I'll pray, and then I'm going to ask Emma to just take over after this, because there might be people who specifically want prayer for a particular situation. They really need to know God's peace in that situation. And would you mind putting your hands out if you feel comfortable doing this, just putting your hands out, and let's just ask God to meet with us here. Lord God, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look at your word, to hear stories and talks from others, to fellowship over food, to worship. Thank you for that worship, not exactly band, that worship duo. They've led us so wonderfully today. And Lord, we're just saying we want to trust you more. We want to know those paths that you take us on. We thank you, Lord, for reminding us that you're a good shepherd who cares for his sheep. The good shepherd, it says, even laid down his life for the sheep. He lies at the entrance to a sheepfold and keeps us safe from others that might come and harm those precious sheep. And thank you that we're your sheep. We're in your pasture, in your fold today. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes you literally pick us up and put us on your shoulders and just love us back into a good place. And Father, we do ask by your Holy Spirit you'd come and minister to these women this afternoon, Lord, who've given up a day to be with you and with each other. And we ask, Father God, that you would meet them at their point of need. We ask for those who are struggling with difficult things in life at the moment, that you would be their peace, that you would be their reassurance, that they would trust that you know the end from the beginning and you know what you're doing. There aren't any mistakes. They're not on a wrong path just because it's a difficult path. You haven't stopped being with them. You're there just the same as you always have been. And I pray, Lord, that they would have the courage to trust you again for their situation. For people in this room who are facing decision-making moments, Lord, I just pray that they would bring these decisions to you. As Yasmin reminded us, if we ask for wisdom, we can come to you and you will give us wisdom. And we just pray that you would. And sometimes, Lord, I pray that if it's just they have to take a step, a next step, that they would have the courage to do that and the faith to trust you that if it's the wrong step, you'll show them and you'll put them back on the right path. So, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is life and breath to us. It ministers to us in our deepest spirits and changes us. So we pray, Lord, that we would each one of us go home with confidence today. Now we're loved, forgiven, accepted, and able to know your goodness in life's challenges. I just pray that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.